so thankful that you're joining us today for Valentine's Day. I got my red Promised Land sweatshirt. I'm ready for Valentine's Day to hang out with my lovely wife, Erica. We've been dating since 1996. So 25 years this July will be our dating anniversary. Anyway, many, many Valentine's days along the way. And I have a wonderful wife because honestly, she does not like Valentine's Day. And I know you're probably thinking, yeah, you should probably reconsider that. But honestly, she would much rather go out next weekend and spend half the money on roses and everything like that. So anyway, I love my wife, Erica, and my family. And it's just an honor to be able to come into your home today for an online experience. It's been a while since we've done this, online only. And so, man, so glad to be able to offer this to you guys because of the weather. And I mean, I've heard tonight is going to be really tough for travel and for pipes and for pets and all those things. So I pray that your family is well. And if you do need a plumber, let us know. We have a good one in the church. We'll let you know about them. But hopefully tomorrow we can all go out and make some snowmen, snow women, snow sculptures. I have two teenage boys. And the last snowfall we had a few weeks ago, which by the way, two snowfalls in 1 year, this is going to be, I can't ever remember that in Texas. Anyway, my teenage boys, they don't make snowmen at 14 and 16. They make snow sculptures, and I'm not going to show you pictures of them. Oh, man. Anyway, I want to make sure you guys have an opportunity this weekend, even though you're not in the building, to be able to give financially to God. This is a huge, huge part of our expression of our worship, our dependence, our posture towards God, is to put Him first in our finances. So we're going to put on the screen the ways to give. You can obviously mail in a check. And I feel like I'm talking in the spring of last year. This is how he rolled. Mail a check in to 1650 Lime Kiln Road, San Marcos, Texas. You can give by texting the word Promised Land to 73256. Super easy. That's the way I give now. Erica's been doing that way for many years, but I've been giving myself that way. And man, it's so easy. Once you get it set up, it's just literally a minute at the most. It's also safe. But of course, you can go to our website, psmchurch.com. There's a giving link there to give, and that's very safe and secure. So thank you so much for giving faithfully. Great things are happening across our region. Our mission team is just going crazy, helping people. And we're getting more opportunities coming up with an orphanage in Buda that we're really excited about. Also, we had a work day scheduled for yesterday, Saturday. And we just decided that it was too cold, okay? Too cold. We weren't sure what the weather was going to be like. So we've postponed that work day for this coming Saturday, February the 20th, 8 a.m. to noon. And we're working up outside, up on our hill. It is a gorgeous hill up there that we are creating an outdoor wedding venue. And it can be used for other things as well. I mean, if people may want to have memorial services up there, prayer services, worship gatherings. Our prayer trail is going to be completed this year. So anyway, we're going to be mulching and cutting shrubs and trimming trees and establishing the seating area and all that kind of stuff. So we'd love for you to come out this coming Saturday from 8 till noon. We'd love to have you. I want to get into the message today. I started this series last week called My Church is a Big Deal. my church is a big deal, and it is. Promised Land is a huge deal. I love my church. And, you know, just recently I was thinking, man, I was sitting over here where I normally do, and I was just thinking, I love this church. I love being in this church. And I thought, how awesome is it that I get to go to the church that I love, that I get to work at the church that I love, I get to be the pastor of the church, and it's a place that I would feel comfortable inviting people to, connecting with people. So it's an honor to be here, and I'm so glad that you're a part of our church as well. You know that hundreds of people call Promised Land their home church, and there's even more, I would say hundreds more, that may not use that terminology, but they would say that's where they go. You know, if someone were to ask them, hey, do you go to church? Yeah, I go to Promised Land. And there are some people that just love to come. So it is a big deal. We love this church. Last week, I gave the principle from Scripture, and I used the Scripture of Jesus in Matthew, talking about how that we are His church. So this is not my church or your church. Technically, this is Jesus's church. So when you see that sermon series title, My Church is Kind of a Big Deal, it's really not me saying that or you saying that. It's Jesus saying that. My church is a big deal. He loves the church. And not only are we His church, but He uses another word for it that opens up a whole nother idea of who we are. So He doesn't call us His company or His business or His hobby or His project. Instead, the church is Jesus's bride. We're His bride. I want to read to you a scripture from Mark, the second chapter and the 18th verse. It says, once when Jesus' disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do? And Jesus replied, do wedding guests fast while celebrating the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them, but someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. So we're not only His, but we're His bride. I love that scripture. I mean, there's many lessons in that scripture about fasting, about our devotion to God. But the underlying current in that passage that I want to draw on today is that we are the bride and He's the groom. And when Jesus was here in person, He is saying, you know, the groom is with the bride. We're together, but the groom is leaving for a while, and then we will be reunited. So in that space between the time Jesus was here with us and we were, you know, in our early engagement period, there was a certain type of relationship. But then there's this long distance sort of relationship happening now, just to kind of keep that romantic relationship language going a little bit. There's a long distance relationship going right now. And He's like, this is kind of a sad moment, kind of a distant moment. There'll be fasting during that separation, but then there'll be a time when we come back together. And that's what I read you a scripture last week from the book of Revelation. In fact, if you missed last week's message, go get it, all right, on YouTube, our archive channel. But it uses the language that there's going to be a wedding feast. So as I'm using this language of bride, and I'm using this language of church, it's really, really important for you to understand the context of you being a part of something bigger than yourself. And that's really what I want to focus in on today, and that is that my church is kind of a big deal because we are one. We're one. We're not a bunch of individual ones. We have come together to be one. So when you read the Bible and you read this, you know, the promise of the church, the promise of the bride, He's not talking about me as a bride over there and you as a bride over there and someone else as a bride over here. No, no, no. He's talking about all of us together are his bride. We are one. Now, this is a hard concept for us to wrap our head around, especially those of us in the Western culture, Western civilization. I'm talking about like, you know, Europe, America, the modernized world that really have this Western culture. We are very, very individualized, okay? There's other countries, still to this day, Latin America, Africa, Asia, the family culture and the group culture, the community culture is much, much stronger than it is here in America, and especially in America, you know, because most of the people that founded America left Europe with this idea of we're going to go be on our own. And then when you took the early Americans and you then begin to populate the rest of the United States from those group of people, it was the pioneers and the trailblazers that came to Texas and other places like that. So like it's in our blood to be outside of a community. And you know, there's phrases that we use that are like, you know, at the pinnacle of our ideology. So like, I'm on my own, or I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. I don't need anyone, you know? I've heard that. So I've heard I'm a self-made man, and then I've heard I don't need a man in my life, or I don't need a woman. I don't, you know, whatever. We have these phrases that we use because it makes us feel stronger if we have this idea that we've made it, and we've made it on our own. But the Bible doesn't talk that way. The Bible is very, very different. The Bible values people coming together to be one. So the church is a big deal because it's a place where individuals come together to form something different than what we would be by ourselves. Now, what happens with this individualized mindset is that we bring it into the church, right? So we get beyond our idea that we don't need to be with God. We need God. We want God. So we come to church with that American mindset, that Western mindset of being an individual, and we can have the wrong idea of what it's like to be involved in a church. So we bring this idea of like, I want to go to church because I want my relationship with God to be better. Think about that for a minute. Now, I know just hearing that statement, you think, well, what's wrong with that statement, right? I want my relationship to God to be better. Well, you know, that's a good thing to think, right? And there's maybe nothing wrong to think that in some regard. But if that is the main mission of getting involved in a local church, then you're missing. That's really what I want to talk to you about today. You're missing a huge part if this is all about you individualistically trying to connect with God. You're missing out on a big part of what the church really is all about. So, you know, if that's the case, you know, if you're saying, I want to go to church, I want a better relationship with God, then you would say things like, well, I'm going to be a part of a church as long as it fits my schedule, as long as it lines up with my life. If issues come up, I will quit. I will find a different place to go. And it becomes very consumer-driven. So we're like picking a church like we would pick out clothing or pick out a store. Now, some of y'all are like Target people. Some of y'all are Walmart people. Some of y'all are Amazon people, whatever. You have this idea of I'm going to pick out a place to go based on what will serve me the best. Oh, man, I wish y'all were in the building today so y'all could be groaning or amening me right now. Come on. I know you're doing it right there on your couch right now. There's so many people that come into the church, into the body, into the bride, without the body and bride mindset, and it's a consumer-driven mindset, and it's all about what can this place do for me? What can this church do for me? What can this church do for my kids? And so that is not the way that the Bible presents to us the body and the bride and the church. Let me just say, though, there's nothing wrong with getting something good from the church, right? I mean, there's going to be benefits. There is. I mean, there's no doubt. Being a part of a church has benefits. In fact, I just said that earlier. It's like, I love this place. I'm so glad to work at this place. I'm so glad to be the pastor. Why? Because I do get a lot of benefit from it. And I do connect with other people in it. But if that's the only reason that we have is this consumer mindset, then we're missing out on something so much better. So I want us to go back to that same passage that I read earlier, Mark, the second chapter. And this next passage comes immediately after he talks about us being the bride, right, and fasting and that whole piece. This is the very next verse that he talks about. This is Mark 2:21. He says, "Besides, who would put a patch of old clothing on new cloth or with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine in old wineskins, for the wine would burst with the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost." New wine calls for new wineskins. Now, in that day and time, they would use primarily goat skin, goat hide or whatever, to create wine flasks or containers. So they would kill a goat, skin it, use the skin, cure it. There was a very detailed process in order to create this skin that they would put the wine in. And, very important was this skin. And in Scripture, wine is used as many different types and shadows, allegories, metaphors are used with wine a lot, okay? In this particular verse, we can see wine as being a type of the church, us right here. And I think the process of creating the wine is very interesting in that here's what happens. So there is a seed planted in the ground. It grows up into a vine. The vine produces clusters of grapes. The grapes are beautiful. The grapes are plump and juicy, and they have a perfect color to them. Everything looks great about the grape. And I want you to think of yourself as a grape, all right? That's what you are. You're a grape. And you're plump on the vine, and you look beautiful, okay? That's who you are. You're a grape. Along comes the farmer and plucks the grape from the vine and plucks all of the grapes off of that vine. And then the vine or that stem, the stem that the grape came off of, is discarded. It's thrown away. And then the grapes are put into one place and then they are crushed. Now, when we went to Nazareth many years ago, And by the way, we want to go back next year, so we'd love for you to come in 2022 with us at Israel. They showed us a place in the rock that they had hewn out of this limestone rock, and it looked like a funnel on the side of the hill. They would put the grapes in there, and then they would crush these grapes and step on them and crush them and smash them and press them. All the juices would run down that rock funnel and drain into the wineskin. And the juice would mix together. And then at that point, you couldn't really tell, this is that grape or this is that. You couldn't tell because all the grapes come together. and they create a new product called wine. And as that wine aged, the value of that juice would grow. And that process is very similar to what we have today, although they use machines and all kind of other things. It's the same basic process that the grapes come together, they're crushed, they mix and mingle, the flavors come together, and then it's aged over time to create this very valuable product. Now we, as the bride, have a very similar process. So each one of us are grapes that God saves from the old place. And I love this. You know, God takes us. He's the great farmer. He harvests us. And then he separates us from our past and discards those things that we got our old identity from, the stem of our life, the past of our life. He discards that old nature. And then we go through some reprocessing, some crushing, some pressing. And you know, some people may not realize that. If you're new to Christianity, understand and know that when you come to know Jesus Christ and he saves you from your sin, there's still some processing that's going to happen in your life, okay? There's going to be some things that happen, some crushing, some pressing that's going to happen, but it's taking you to where God wants you to go, and it's making you even more valuable. Come on, that's awesome. That's what God is doing for you. So we are being changed in that process. We're being put into the family. Oh, there's a grape over there. Oh, there's a grape over there. Well, he's getting crushed. I'm getting crushed. We're all getting crushed. But then our identity comes together into this collective place called the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church. And we began to mix our flavors together. And it's a beautiful thing. So believers come together. And once we get together in the body, and we're the church, we're all in the family together, it's hard to tell, well, who's first and who's last? Who's more important? Who's done what? You know, all of those questions don't really matter. And it's hard to discern what is really happening when we all come together in the body. Isn't that beautiful? Just a beautiful idea, concept of us all coming together. And then that final thing is, as we come together as a whole, as one, when we are one together, we begin to increase in our value as a collective, as a one body, one bride. Our value is much, much greater in that process than if you were to just have one little fat, plump grape and just drain that one grape out. Oh yeah, there's a value to that. There is. But when you consider the value of that grape being a part of a whole and going through the process that God has for us to go through as being a part of a church family, man, that's so awesome, isn't it? And that's why we hear God saying, that's why we hear God saying that my church is kind of a big deal. Why? Because he's given his life for us. He's given his life for us. He is the process that we must go through. Jesus Christ is the process that we go through so that we can have a higher value, a different value than if we were on our own by ourselves. He loves us so much that he goes to great lengths to give his life, to give his heart, to give his soul, his blood, his sweat, his tears, all go into the process for you to increase in value. So it was just absolutely incredible. I mean, you could take this so far as that Jesus himself was crushed for us, right? He himself was crushed physically, literally. The blood, the juice, whatever you want to call it, was coming from him, and it was on our behalf, right? so that when we put our faith in Jesus and what happened to him in his crushing, our lives are made new. So that, you know, then when we go to take communion and we hold the little grape juice and we have the little piece of bread, man, how deep is that, right? That symbol of that grape juice represents the crushing of Jesus, and we are now living that out as the body. It was not a waste. And I just want to speak to you, you know, wherever you are in life, that it was not a waste. You may think that the trouble and the crushing and the pressing that you've gone through is wasting your life, but I'm telling you, if you're in the family of God, if you are in this process with the church, it's not for waste, but God is going to use it for your glory and your identity and for the rest of the body. So as this happens, and as this lays out, we're changed. Our mentality has changed. Our outlook on life has changed. Our outlook on God has changed. And we see that Jesus' message is one that is the most important, right? As we surrender ourselves to the body and we begin to mix and mingle with others, then we find ourselves laying down our individualistic ideas of how everything should go. And really, you know, I think the best way to say this is that change has to be a part of our culture. That always being ready to be changed by God is a prerequisite. It is super important. What can happen over time is that you can receive the salvation of God and you find freedom in God. You're a part of the church. And then you start getting married to the method of the church instead of the message of Jesus. And I just want to drop that little bomb on you right now. Maybe this is one of the takeaways that you have from today. But as the bride, as a bride of Christ, we want to be married to the message of Jesus and not the method of the church, right? So, you know, I've heard stories all my life about churches and people getting upset with things changing in the church. And, you know, I've heard of, you know, a church that had a piano up on the stage. And a new pastor came in and he moved the piano from one side to the other side. And oh my goodness, it caused such an uproar in the church and people got upset and people were mad. How could you move that piano? That piano was there when my grandma played it 80 years ago and you've moved the piano. And oh, change is so tough. And we've kind of laugh at that, you know, like how dumb is that, you know? Until it's our church that changes. Until it's our piano that moves, right? And so I want to challenge you a little bit, those of you that are here in Promised Land, in this local expression of the body of Christ. When you get edgy about something that's changing in this local church, in this local expression, make sure you're not married to the method. And make sure you're only married to the message of the gospel. And we can talk about it and we can debate whether it's a method thing or a gospel thing. I mean, we can talk about that. It's healthy. You know, we should have those conversations. We should talk about it. If you're new to Promised Land, hopefully this is going to help you understand why we do things differently from time to time. And that's okay. All right, so we will move the drum from here to there. Or you'll see me in a sweatshirt sometime, and sometime I'm in a coat or a tie. That's pretty rare now. But every once in a while a tie or a sweatshirt, or somebody will have a coat on or a hole in their jeans. Oh no. We want to be the body of Christ that is reaching this culture, reaching this area, not with a watered down, compromised message. We want to be married to the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the salvation of the world. That Jesus Christ died for our sins. He rose on the third day, and everybody that believes in his finished work of salvation will be saved. We are believing that, and we're preaching that, and we're never, never, never going to shy away from that. But we are going to be doing everything we can to reach the loss of San Marcos, Hays County, Texas, the world through online avenues. And so I'm so thankful that you're part of it. So God's church is a big deal. My church is a big deal. Jesus' church is a big deal because we're his bride and because we are one. Would you pray with me right now? There, wherever you are, would you just bow your heads with me? And I'm sure something I've said today spurred a thought, maybe spurred an emotion. Just pray. I want to pray with you now that God would keep working on you and keep revealing things to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm honored to be with everybody online right now. God, I'm believing that even though we're not in person together, that you are in the midst of everything that we're doing, God. That you're in those homes, bedrooms, living rooms, you're at work with people, God, people that are having to travel because they, you know, they work in industries that are not closed, first responders, medical workers, people that work for, service industry, things like that. Lord, I pray you keep them safe this weekend. But God, we're here right now just to recognize our place in your bride. God, that we would surrender our thinking that it has to be our way or the highway. God, that we would surrender any thinking that we have it all figured out or that it's only about us. And I'm sure no one actually literally thought that, but Lord, any temptation to believe that. Any temptation to be biased against other people groups or other new people or old people or poor people or rich people or people of other skin colors. Lord, if there's any divisions in the body, Lord, make us one. Make us one. May there, if it's necessary that there's more pressing, more crushing, God, we're open to it. I know that's a scary prayer to pray. But Lord, if it's in your hands, we trust it. We trust it, God. We know you'll never waste a moment. You'll never waste a moment, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I want to pray right now for everybody that's out here that has yet to give your heart to God. Maybe you're just surfing through the internet today, and you didn't anticipate hearing this, but God's calling you. It's not an accident that you've watched this long. God wants to come into relationship with you right now. And all you need to do with me is just pray a prayer of surrender. It's just saying, Lord, I give up. I want to be with you right now. I want to serve you. I want to be with you. I want to be in your family. I want to be your bride. Would you just join with me? Just say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I want to be with you. I'm sorry for the things I've done that have separated me from you. I've done things that have been out of rebellion. I've done things out of ignorance. I didn't even know, God. But I'm asking you to forgive me today. And I need your help, Lord, for my present and my past and my future. Help me, God. I'm excited about you living with me. I'm excited about you being with me. I pray you would fill me with your Spirit. I want to be like a funnel, God, that you flow through. I want your Spirit to baptize me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Thank you so much. So much for being with us. Share this video. Let people know about it. And we can't wait to see you again. We'll see you next Sunday, the 21st. God bless you. Bye-bye.